Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Praise the Lord. Let's teach again on mountain moving faith. Let's go to James chapter 1, and I'm going to review just a little bit here from last week, because I don't want to lose this. Have you guys ever noticed this? You can read something and you get a lot out of it, and then like 2 weeks later, you're like, "What was I reading that, on that?" Have you noticed that? Actually, Hebrews talks about that we're supposed to be diligent with the word, because and the writer of Hebrews, which I believe was Paul, there's debate, but I believe it was Paul. But he said so that the truth that you know doesn't slip. It talks about it slipping. And so how many have ever slipped before? Okay? You don't do it intentionally, okay? You get caught off guard. But if you're not being diligent when you're walking on ice or something slippery, you can slip. Well, the truth is the same way. Because we live in a world that's so contrary to this, you have to watch it, because it can just start to slip just a little bit. Pilots have talked about this, that when they're reading their instruments and stuff like that, if they allow themselves to get off just a degree, they can end up thousands of miles away from where they wanted to be. Does that make sense? So the same is true when it comes to the scripture, when it comes to praying, when it comes to fellowship with the Lord. It's easy to get off. And our culture, honestly, our church culture is geared towards slipping. 20-minute messages, church once. Do you know statistically? Okay, these are statistics. The average churchgoer considers themselves, in today's culture, a faithful churchgoer who considers themselves a part of a church, and they average two times a month. So, my question is, what are you doing with all your other time? You know what I mean? And people say, well, you've got to have people in church. No, people make time for what they feel is important, or what is important to them. It's humanity. It's just like the Lord, and the Lord's so smart, you know, he obviously, but he says, wherever your treasure is, there your heart is. If you want to know what you love the most, or what is the most, watch where your money goes. You'll find out. And you say that, and people, it's almost like I can feel people in the crowd, not here, but at times, you can feel people go, oh, you know, like, don't say that. Well, you don't want to look at it, or you don't want to, you know. People that succeed, though, people that excel in areas, look at things and study things, even if they don't like what they see. Does that make sense? You have to look at it honestly. And so the truth is that way. You got to watch it, because if you're not careful, it'll slip on you. And it's not that, you know, God's word obviously doesn't fail us, but we can fail to walk in what he's provided for us. And so that's why I want to go back and look at this, James chapter 1. And let's pray, and then we'll get into this. Father, we just thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. Lord, I've asked you, I've prayed today, and now we corporately agree together and believe you for wisdom, for eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that understand. Lord, that grace would come. Father, I just yield myself to you. I thank you for boldness and utterance and words to say that will help unlock and show areas where truth has been missed, or where darkness has reigned in the past in our thinking or ways of seeing things. Lord, tonight we'll see truth that sets us free. that helps us. And Lord, we won't just be hearers of your word, we'll be doers of it as well. We'll put it into practice in our daily lives as we are faithful and obedient to you by your grace. So Father, we believe you for that. We expect wisdom to come. We don't ask in doubt, but we ask in faith. And we expect truth to be understood and seen and known today. Where the enemy has held in bondage, light would come. And there would just be a freedom that would come in people's minds and lives tonight. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And anybody, you know, people that are, if you're watching online, you can use your faith and get an answer. You know, it's interesting. I don't know if you've ever listened to a message that was recorded 20 years ago and it gives you light when you listen to it. Well, how in the world? Well, I listen to preachers that are dead. You say, how do you do that? Well, they're on CD. They're recorded. And we listen to some authors that have been dead for thousands of years off this planet, and you'll read the word and go, oh, why? Because the Holy Spirit knows where you're at, and he knows what you need to hear, amen? And so we're trusting him. But James chapter 1, verse number 2, so we'll start here. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, patience is not something people like. I should say it this way. Patience is not something your flesh will gravitate towards. In other words, you know, have you ever been in a hurry to go somewhere and you get stuck in traffic? The first thing that pops up is not, man, I feel so patient right now. That's not the first thing that comes up. The first thing that comes up is, why do these people drive in this way? You know, you feel like they're all in your way, but they all paid taxes usually too, so they get to drive on the same road you do. So, but that's an opportunity to exercise your patience, okay? It's an opportunity to work out in the Spirit. So, verse 5, if any of us lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. We talked about this last week. God is a liberal giver. He gives bountifully and without reproach. In other words, he won't make you feel stupid for not knowing the answer. And it will be what? Given to him. It will be given to him. So God says ask, but he doesn't say ask and maybe I'll do it. Ask and you never know. Ask and I might do it. He says, no, I'm a liberal giver. Go ahead and ask and I'm gonna give it to you. So you could say this, you could say every time I've prayed for wisdom, it's come from God, okay? Brother Hagin used to make a statement. He said ever since he figured out how to pray by faith, he said he never had a prayer not answered. Wow, can we say that? But see, the scripture says we can have that answer. Now, sometimes the answer is you don't get a no. You say, what do you mean by that? God told Moses, the secret things belong to me. In other words, Moses, you can pray, but I ain't going to tell you. So that is an answer, right? I mean, it may not be the answer we want, but it is an answer, okay? And there are things, and usually those things are in relationship to other people and situations with them. I'm not talking about you personally when you're praying about your own life, but sometimes when you're praying for somebody else, how many have situations and you just prayed about it for other people, but it's just like you don't get an answer on it? Well, the Lord may not tell you. He may say, nah, I'm going to have somebody else deal with that. That isn't so close to the situation. Hello. All right, so anyway, he says this in verse 6, he says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. I love that statement. When I read that last week, it's like the Holy Spirit said to me, is that possible? Can you ask with no doubting? And the answer is unequivocally, yes, you can. And once we, and the Holy Spirit's helping us, so thank God for that. But once we understand what doubt is and what faith is, and we function in them, we can choose which one we want to function in. People say, is that possible? You're doing it already. It's just a lot of people are used to doubt and fear more than they are faith and love. But you're doing it, or you're already functioning. You know, you don't have to try and be eternal. Did you know that? People say, well, yeah, but I receive Jesus, so when my body dies or I die, then I go right to heaven, I live forever. No. Whether you receive Jesus or not, you live forever. You do. You're eternal automatically, because the one who created you is eternal. It's just where you spend that eternity, right? So you're gonna be and live forever no matter what. You are created to believe by God. Now this is tough, because people struggle with this. You want to know why? And the simple reason why is because our minds have not been taught correctly according to the Word. Like Brother Hagin used to say to us, you've been religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. You've been religiously brainwashed. I don't read whether it be the apostles or Jesus, where there was any option to where any person couldn't believe. You know, nobody could come up to Jesus and go, well, I just don't have the capability to believe. He would look at him and said, no, if you choose to believe, here's what will happen. He never would, it's not that he won't allow people to doubt. They can. You can choose to, but you can choose to open your heart to faith. You can choose to move towards God. You can choose to move in the direction and choose to take hold of the light of His truth and walk in it in your life without seeing anything as far as a manifestation. And that is exactly what faith is. Does that make sense? Well, you say, what does that mean? Well, that means this. I have the peace of God that guards my heart and mind. And your mind can be going bonkers. And you can go, no, I know that's going on, but I know that's the devil. I know that's doubt. I know that's unbelief. So in faith right now, Lord, you said to me right here in your word, and I'm just going to rejoice over your word. I don't feel it. I don't see it. It doesn't look like it. I don't know how it's going to happen. But none of that is my responsibility. Lord, what my responsibility is to just very simply take you at your word, rejoice over it, act like it's so, and you will do the rest. And when you do that, you are operating in faith. What most people get hung up on is, well, I did it, but I didn't see anything change. Don't worry about the change. Don't think about the change. Think about remaining in faith. Okay? Because you can ask in faith, you can speak in faith, you can rejoice in faith, you can give in faith, you can receive in faith, you can breathe in faith, you can walk by faith, you can live by faith, you can drive your car by faith, you can fly in a plane by faith. You're doing it by faith, because faith is in you, you're eternal, you're built for it. You're born again, right? If you're born again, how did you get born again? People struggle over this. Well, I believed what I heard. I accepted it as truth, and I declared out of my mouth that it is so. Well, I do this. You do the same thing in the area of peace for your mind. I believe what I heard. I accept it into my heart as truth, and then I speak it out of my mouth. And when you do that, you're operating in faith. What people often struggle with is that they don't see instantaneous change. But how did you get in the position you're in now? It took time. This is another side of it that I just warn you about, I guess. People will get overly analytical and try and figure out every little thing that went wrong with their lives the last 20 years to see if they can figure out why they are the way they are. You don't even need to figure that out. You just need to go to Jesus, get in line with His word. And people say, well, you're just saying you don't care about my feelings. I absolutely care about your feelings. And if you would listen to the word of the Lord, your feelings would be healed. And you wouldn't be stuck in the perpetual turmoil. It's like trying to drive into the future while looking in the rearview mirror constantly. You can't do it. You're going to crash. Why? You can't drive forward and look back. It's not possible. Unless you're going to drive in reverse. You know, unless you're like Tom Mater from the car show. I'm the world's best backward driver. You know? I think there's Christians that think they are. And they're running into everything. Why? Forget about it. Well, you don't know how bad it hurt. All right, take it to the Lord. Let him deal with you about it, but move forward. Okay, move forward. Because you'll get stuck if you don't. So we can ask in faith. I can ask in faith. I can believe. You know, I was reading this today, studying these things. I didn't feel nothing. I didn't feel nothing. Sometimes when I study, I can feel an anointing there in what I'm doing. I didn't feel nothing. You say, what did you do? I said, Lord, I thank you that everything that's being studied out, your anointing's on it because it's your word, and you're going to come tonight and you're going to minister to people, and you're going to bless them and strengthen them. And that's by faith, and then I operate in the gift that's in me to minister by faith. Just get up and do it. I don't feel anything. And then light comes, the Holy Spirit comes, and he gives words and utterance. And it's by faith. Everything's by faith because we're supposed to live by faith, right? So he says this. He says, don't doubt when you pray, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, people will read that verse and they'll go, well, I don't like that verse. I'm going to skip over that verse. But you need to look at that verse and go, did I doubt when I prayed? Was I in faith? If I was in faith, then I received. Because the Lord said that if I would pray in faith, I would what? I'd receive what I asked for, right? Now, don't disconnect on me, okay? Don't disconnect. Don't get too comfortable in your chair and disconnect your heart. Keep in faith, because you'll see answers as we go. I'm telling you, this is how it works. You have to engage in your heart. And so what does he say here? He says, for let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. Now, he's saying you shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord if you pray and you're not in faith, if you're in doubt. But he's not saying that there are some eternal doubters out there that will never receive anything from the Lord. Everybody here, including myself, has functioned or prayed or done something in doubt. We all have, okay? That doesn't mean that we should go, well, I guess I did it. That's who I am. I can't help it. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, you know, I'm just going to, if you prayed and you didn't receive, or if you were in doubt and you didn't receive, you should just roll over and give up because there's no hope for you, Bubba. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, I want you to see this, realize what's happening here, and repent. In other words, change the way you think. Once you change the way you think, change the way you see by renewing or having your mind transformed by the Word of God, then you can begin to operate in faith, and then you can become the faith receiver and not the doubter who does without. Make sense? So, a double-minded man or a man who's in doubt shouldn't suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Doubt will cause you to be unstable. Have you noticed that? Have you ever tried to make a decision between two things just naturally? And you try and weigh it out in your mind? And then you talk to your spouse and try and weigh it out through their mind and yours? Have you ever done that? And you're looking at it, and then you're looking at it, and you're looking at it, and you're going, well, there's this on this, but then, you know, there's this on this side, and then there's this on this side, and you never make a decision. Have you ever been driving down the road in your vehicle with your kids with you, and your wife's there, and you're driving, and you go, where should we go to eat? That's a dangerous question, brother. Yeah. You'll find doubt. You say, why is that? Because you'll have, oh, I want this, I want that, I want this, and all of a sudden you have double, triple, quadruple mindedness going on. And that's what the enemy tries to do concerning the Word of God. That's why a lot of times you got to be careful, especially depending on the situation that you're in and what you're believing God for, about getting people's opinions. Well, what do you think? Have you ever noticed how much we're curious about what everybody else thinks? That's just human nature. We would think about that. Well, maybe it's this. Well, maybe it's that. Well, maybe it's this. Well, maybe it's that. We got to be careful about that, because that's, you can get into, it's not that you can't gain wisdom from people, but it depends on what you mean by wisdom. What is the, you know, the scripture talks about in Proverbs, a multitude of counselors and wisdom and how it's godly. Okay, but it can't be worldly wisdom. It has to be godly wisdom. Okay? All right, so you got to be careful about it. You got to know when you're in faith, boom, you settle. You know inside, and you don't let double-mindedness come in. I know that I know that I know this is what I'm supposed to do. And then you stick with that. So we talked about that. We talked about not being double-minded. We talked about the ability to believe. We talked about that you have the ability to choose if you want to be stable or not in your life by choosing faith. So tonight, let's go to Matthew 14. I'm going to go over here. I can choose faith. I choose to believe. You know, it's the harder way, but it's the reward is much greater. You say, why is it the harder way? Because the world runs contrary. It goes back to that statement, any old dead fish can float downstream, right? Takes a live one to swim up. And that's what faith will do. But the rewards are phenomenal. So, Matthew 14. This is a good example of James, and we referenced it, but I want to look at it. So, the Lord said this to me today. He said, as you look at these examples of faith in the Scripture, the Holy Spirit is going to give clear understanding concerning current situations and past situations that there is or was confusion concerning faith. How many think that could happen? How many believe in for that? I'm taking that. That's what he said to me. I'm taking it. And then I was listening. He said this: doubt is the spiritual force that operates in this life to try to take our focus away from our faith in Christ or the Word. The enemy has influence in this life from the realm of the spirit. He influences the mental and the physical. That's what the devil does. From the realm of the spirit, he influences the mental and the physical world here. Okay? We are functioning under two, there are two spirits operating in the earth. One is light, one is dark. Okay? One is God, one is Antichrist. One is Christ, one is Antichrist. And those are always functioning. The enemy is working to keep you out of faith or out of the Word or get the Word out of you. Okay? And so Matthew 14, 22, we'll see a great example of this. It says here, Jesus walks on the sea is the title of the heading in my Bible. It says this: immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. They had just had a big meeting, and he sent the disciples ahead of him. Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. Verse 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. That's the word of the Lord. Do not be afraid. Okay? Hallelujah. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Did he give Jesus much option? He did not. Okay, the question paints Jesus into a corner. He's like, okay, well, I guess you're coming on the water, you know. So then he says this. Jesus said, come, and when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you... Would Jesus say that to you? Come on. You know, I've been in faith camp for a while, and I've had people get so upset over somebody else questioning somebody else's faith. So upset. Now, I can understand if you're just being critical and cynical and like, I'm the man of God, I'm, you know, and just arrogant. That's one thing. And I've heard people say, well, if you got so much faith, why don't you just do it for them? And real sarcastic like. And I understand why, because you can get out of balance on either side of this deal. But we should be in an environment in the church where there's such love, where somebody can actually ask a question like, why are you doubting right now? Where's this doubt coming from? And then there can be an analyzing of what's going on. Amen? And then a change, a repentance can take place, a change in heart and mind to where, oh, let's get back in line. This question was not meant to make Peter feel small. It was meant to help Peter walk on the water longer. Make sense? Okay. All right. So he says this. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. And he says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Okay, so let's go back over this now. Let's go back up to verse 22. All right. Verse 22. Some few things that the Lord spoke to me today that I feel like will help us. It says this. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. So what was that? Jesus gave the disciples a command, right? Jesus is the Word of God, correct? So what came with that command? Faith. All the power, the ability to do what God asked you to do is in the words that he speaks to you. Okay? So don't go hunting for the ability in your mind and in your emotion, because you're not going to find it. And the ability to do these things or to operate in them is only tapped when you act upon them. Okay? So, in this verse is where we see faith come into the disciples' lives. Jesus told them to get into the boat and go to the other side. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Verse 24. Skip down to verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was what? Contrary. So, word came, faith came, power came. What else came? Contrary came. You say, why are we going over this? This is how the enemy gets you double-minded. The Lord speaks to you. This is what you're supposed to do. And then most Christians, come on, we are getting so strong right now. You're going to see this. This is awesome. God gives a word. Most Christians will take that word. I'm convinced they've heard from God, because I've had them speak to me. And then contrary comes. Well, I know God spoke this to me, but look at the wind. Guys, we're supposed to go to the other side. Come on. Contrary has come. Now, I love the disciples, because it's not like they turned the boat around. They're just out there still a rowing, I guess. Okay? So what comes, though, in the midst of contrary? Jesus. Why can Jesus show up in this situation? Because they're doing what he told them. What if the disciples said, well, the Lord told us to go, but the weather report said, we're just going to sit on the shore. They would have been in what? Disobedience. Correct? Okay? But since they're in a difficult situation, but they obeyed the Lord, what do they have? Divine intervention. Amen? So, we see this. Contrary winds, listen to this, what the Lord said to me, is no sign that you missed God. Hallelujah. No sign that you missed God. I've had people come up to me and they say, they'll talk about the church. Oh, Sean, the church is really doing good. You know, the church is really doing good. Well, we don't tell you all the contrary winds we have. And they'll come up to me and they'll say things like, and I know they're trying to encourage me. I don't say anything necessarily. Well, you know, when you're in the will of God, when you're doing the will of God, it just flows so smooth. Mm. You know, some people, I had a gentleman tell me something one time. It was just really prideful. But he said to me, he thought he was so spiritual. He said, I'm not even aware of the devil. And I thought, you must be walking with him then, not against him. Because Paul was ever aware of his enemy. Peter was ever aware of his enemy. And people say, well, ever since I started coming to this church, everything tried to go upside down. Woohoo! Glory! You found the battle. Before, you was hiding out in the bunker wishing nothing, you'd hear a bullet every once in a while. What was that? Oh, Lord, I plead the blood. Psalms 91. And everybody else is out in the front going, where are they at? You found the war. There's no sense getting all dressed up in that spiritual warfare, in that spiritual armor, and having nowhere to go. Look, check out my armor, guys. Have you ever been to battle? Oh no, I just like the armor. I don't want to go to the battle. Then you won't have any victories. You'll have to celebrate somebody else's instead of your own. Glory to God, I'm going to celebrate my own. Amen? We want to celebrate victories with you. And when you hear the word of the Lord, contrary winds will come. But it's no sign that you missed God. It's just a sign that the enemy goes, I hate those people. I hate that word of God. Yes, you do. Keep on hating it. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. And we will overcome because he's faithful. But we're going to have to deal with contrary circumstances. Verse 29, let's skip down there. So the Lord says to Peter, go ahead and come, Peter. And Peter came down out of the boat and he walked on the water. So Jesus told Peter to come. So when that word was spoken from Jesus to Peter, what was in that word? It was faith. So let's tie this back to what we just read about last week in James. In that word, Peter received faith and singleness of mind. Peter had a word to come to Jesus. He had his eyes on Jesus, and he had his thoughts on Jesus. Peter then acted on all of that and began to walk to Jesus on the water. So we see here faith received and acted upon. And this is where I believe many Christians do this with regularity. I don't question that at all. I think many Christians step into faith with no problem at all. They just don't know how to walk it all the way out because in the process, the enemy comes with distractions, contradictions, contrary winds, contrary symptoms, contrary this and that, and tries to get and succeeds in getting believers into a double-minded state rather than staying in a single-minded, focused state on the Lord and his word, and this is where I'm going, and it doesn't matter if it takes me 25 years. I will not quit. I will not stop until I see the full manifestation of what the Lord said to me. I won't back up. I won't roll over. I won't give in. I can't. I heard. I suppose I could. Why not swing for the fences every single time. I watched this movie years ago. Well, and you'll see this too in just regular in sports like with baseball. Usually guys that hit a lot of home runs strike out a lot. But you know what else they also have? A lot of home runs. And one, there was this line in this movie, and this kid was a great baseball player, and the guy that was talking to him said, "Yeah, you hit a lot of home runs, but you also had the most strikeouts." He said, "Why did you have to go up there and just, why couldn't you just hit a base hit, you know? Why couldn't you just bear?" He goes, "It never felt right to go up there and not swing with everything." And when it comes to us and our faith, we should swing with everything. Now, if you're young in the Lord, your swing may be, you know, a first base hit. But if you've been at it for a while, you ought to be able to swing pretty good. And then every time you step up, don't just give it a little. Give it everything you got. You woke up today. You're on. Faith is on, baby. I'm up. Here we go. I'm going to win. I'm going to do this thing. I'm not going to just get through college. I'm going to thrive all the way through. I'm not going to just get done to the end of my life and go, "Oh, I made it, man. At least I passed the finish line." I'm going to try and get all the way ahead and run as hard as I can and break out the way the Lord wants us to. Amen? So I do not believe Christians struggle a lot with the beginning stages of faith. It's the stages after. They get in fine. But how many know contrary comes? And when contrary comes, that's when you're tested. That's when your faith, people say, "Well, God's testing me." Actually, your faith is being tested. And the enemy, I'll just say this, persecution comes for the word's sake. The trial of your faith comes because the word of God is in you. And the enemy does not want that word to manifest. He does not. Because it ruins him every time. It's a terrible testimony for him, but a great one for the Lord when people walk it all the way through. So let's look at verse 30 then, 29. We just looked at that, so we saw some truths. Verse 30, "But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was" what? "Afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, 'Lord, save me.'" Now, through the years, I'll be honest with you, mostly I hear people preach on the "Lord, save me," and Jesus did out of that verse. But I was reading this a couple weeks ago, and the Lord said to me, he said, "Notice, Sean, that I did not emphasize that I saved him." He said, "What did I emphasize when I got in the boat?" I said, you emphasized the faith issue. He goes, "Yeah, that's what I want emphasized." I thought, whoa, there you have it. Now, is it a non-point that Jesus had mercy on him and saved him? Absolutely not. Our God is a merciful God. Thank God. Amen. If you're in the middle of it and you need to cry out in faith, do it for mercy. Cry out. Do it. But what the Lord desires of us is what? That we grow spiritually to the point where we don't sink. We walk all the way out to him, and then we turn around hand in hand and walk all the way back to the boat. That's what he's after. And people say, "Well, that's hard." No, he's created you to do it. He's created you to live supernaturally by his grace. But you're going to have to break thresholds of contrary. You're going to have to break thresholds of darkness in the process. You say, "But they've already all been destroyed." I know, but you have to walk them out. People act like, and this is something, I mean, I thank God for the training that we had at Bible college, but, you know, people think the promises of God will just fall on them like ripe cherries off of a tree. No, you got to get up there and pick them. Faith is required. It's required. It's required. So he says this in verse 30, and he says, "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, and he caught him and said to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you do?'" Oh, that's verse 31. Verse 30, "But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out saying, 'Lord, save me.'" So in verse 30, we see a different manifestation take place for Peter. Before, he was experiencing the power of God to such a degree that he was walking on the water. But then something changed. What changed? Peter, that's right, took his focus off of Jesus and began to look at what? Wind and waves. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally. But let him ask in faith with nothing doubting. Because a doubter is a double-minded man. Jesus, wind and waves. Jesus, wind and waves. Jesus, wind and waves. I'm sinking. I'm sinking. I. Make sense? Faith is single-minded. It's single-minded. The Lord said this. Waves will come, splash, but this is going on. Jesus is there. People will come up to you and go, you know the wind's blowing, right? The wind's blowing. The wind is blowing. You know the wind's blowing. The wind's blowing. The wind's blowing. You go, Jesus, he's right there. I don't got time to talk about the wind. Your hair will be going, you know, like a model. You go, Jesus, he's right there. I'm going that way, right there. Why? Because I'm in faith. I don't got time for the wind and the waves. I don't have time for that. I'm walking on these circumstances. How are you doing that? I have one focus, Jesus. He gave me the word, come. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm headed. And you can do this with every promise of God. Everyone. This is where I'm going. Jesus. And the wind and the waves. How many notice circumstances talk to you? You ever notice that? Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? What about this situation? What about this one? How many have ever woke up at night and your mind goes, huh, they're awake. Quick, dump everything on them that they didn't think about before they go back to bed. Can I ask you a question? Do you have to yield to staying awake? This will challenge you. Bible says you have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. The Bible says don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will take care of itself. In other words, wind and waves, Jesus says, come. Here's the thing. I believe I can walk to Jesus on the water and not be distracted by the wind and waves. You say, you're doing that perfectly. No, I'm steering my body. I'm steering my life right now. I'm saying it out of my mouth from faith in my heart. I believe I can go right to that spot and nothing the devil has can stop the power of God if I focus on him. Oh, I just wish I had that faith that you do, brother. You just have to exercise it for yourself. Stop letting the devil dictate to you what you can believe and cannot believe. Stop letting circumstance speak to you. Government, situations, the medical field, all these things, the stock market, all these different things. Don't let them dictate to you what your life has to be. Let the Lord be the one who dictates. He's the one that penned the words. He's the one that created you before the world ever began to spin. You are in him. He knows you front to back. In faith, grab what he says about you. Take it to you and go that direction and that direction only. And if you do, he will come through because God is not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of, he doesn't have to repent. He doesn't have to change. He doesn't have to go, oops, oh man, I'm sorry, Sean. I thought you could do this, but I was wrong. You were right all along. Here I thought you could believe, but you're right. I'm sorry. You really enlightened me. Thank you for that. Right? Does God do that? No. He just says, oh yeah, yeah, you were sinking right there. I picked you up. So why did you doubt? He just says, oh, Sean, that was little faith, but let's get on to big, strong man faith. Come on. Are you saying, preacher, we can just go out and walk on the water anytime we want? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you can do what God tells you to do. Amen? And that's through His Word, and that's by His Holy Spirit. So, what took place when Peter allowed other influences into his life? He began to sink. Or as James said, let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. Make sense? See how those two tie together? Let not, a double-minded man will always lose out on the promise. Always lose out. And I don't have time to go into this right now. We won't in this series, at least now. But I'll just say this. Your mouth and what you say plays a huge role in how stable your mind is. I mean massive. If you run around all the time going, my kids just drive me crazy. They just drive me crazy. They're crazy. They're taking me to Crazyville. It's crazy in the front, crazy in the back. They're just driving everywhere. You better stop saying that. First of all, why are your kids driving? They're not old enough. No, you have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I said, you have a spirit of power and of love. And people say, well, it doesn't feel like it. Well, just say it for a week and you'll feel it. It'll come all over you. It was all there the whole time. You just got to make yourself aware of it. And you do that by faith. Verse 31, he says this. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So the question here is not, Peter, I can't believe you doubted. You just disappointed me so much, Peter, I can't stand it. You know, that's the nature of the flesh talking. No, he's saying, Peter, why did you doubt? In other words, Peter, think about it now. What caused you to doubt, Peter? Think, Peter, you were walking on the water. You were functioning in a miracle. What took that away, Peter? Peter, think about it. Think about it. When did the enemy start seeding? How did the wind and the waves affect? Come on, Peter. You jumped out in faith. It was right. You were doing it. But what got you off, Peter? And that's what we need to do even in our own lives. We need to go, you know, that situation, I know I heard from the Lord on this. But how come I'm so far away from it right now? The question is what? Why did you doubt? How come I'm not seeing? And then this is where fellowship comes in with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, to where correction can come, and then we make adjustments. When we make adjustments, that's all repentance is. You do realize that, right? Repentance is not a negative word. People have turned it into repent, you know, the vicious thing. But it's not. It's a loving word. In other words, adjust the way you think, change the way you do, and you'll have a different result. You'll have a different result. Something different will come about. Something different will come about. All right, let's wrap up with this. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. This is going to be fun. I'm excited about this one. And I'm going to skip this and go to right here. And this is what I want you to see. Right here. Acts chapter 20, verse number 17 says this. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you. This is Paul talking to the church, the elders of the church in Asia. He said, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Sometimes, you know, you can be serving the Lord, you're going to have tears and trials. I don't know what to tell you other than it's in the Bible. How I kept nothing back that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Verse 21, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance, there's that word we love, toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22, and see now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulation. Yeah, you know, I'm going to the prophetic service. We're going over to the service where everybody gets a prophetic word. And Paul shows up, and what does he get? Chains and tribulations, brother. That's what I see all over you. Most Christians today would be in that service and go, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't have that for me. Was that the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Now, this is not referring to sickness or disease, you understand? This is godly suffering. This is a godly thing. In other words, being persecuted or martyred for the sake of the gospel. Okay? So then he says this. I got off on that, but I got to stay in my notes here. Okay. He says, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city saying that chains and tribulations, and that word tribulations means trouble or pressure, await me. Verse 24, but what? None of these things move me. And then he says this, nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 22, I'm going to go back. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. We see here in verse 22 that Paul says, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. This tells me that Paul heard the Holy Spirit on what he was supposed to do. From our teaching previously, what do we know comes when we hear the Word of God? What came? Faith. Faith came, right? So he said, I'm bound in the Spirit. You know, I never saw this before, but do you know what that word bound means? To put under obligation. In other words, the Holy Spirit put Paul under obligation to go to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit will tie you. You know what this scripture reminds me of? It reminds me of another one that Paul said. He said, the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. In other words, it's a co-witnessing. So what happened here? The Holy Spirit said to Paul, I put you, you have a mandate from the throne of God that you must go to Jerusalem. And when Paul was praying and he heard that, what took place when he received that into him? What came? Faith. And what else? Grace to go, correct? There's a word from the Lord. You got to do, this is your call, this is your purpose. You need to go. You have a mandate. You are put under obligation to do. How many have ever been put under obligation by the Holy Spirit to do something? You have to do this. And then it says this. Faith will come when you hear the word of God. But faith will also come when you hear the Holy Spirit speak to you concerning a subject. Something in your life. In other words, the Holy Spirit didn't tell me, Sean, I want you to buy, I'm talking about in the Bible, it's not written in here, buy the house on such and such street. Paul didn't take the time to write that. Why did Paul not take the time to write that? Because Paul took the time to explain what happened when you got born again, that the Holy Spirit would be inside of you, and he knew that the Holy Spirit would bear witness with your spirit on which house you're supposed to buy. You say the Holy Spirit would do that? Absolutely. He doesn't want you to buy one that's going to fall apart. Well, I just go buy the best deal. Well, you're going to miss God if you do. You better hear from the Holy Ghost. Amen? So then he says this. And this is the other thing that I saw that the Lord showed me in verse 22. This is great. I love this. Paul says, "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there." What? Well, Lord, if I'm going to follow the plan that you have for me, I've got to know every single detail. Well, then you won't walk by faith and you won't follow the Lord. Because Paul said what? Not knowing the things that will happen to me there. So in other words, this sounds like another scripture, for we walk by faith, not by... Would God ask you to do something without you knowing all the details? God speaks the end of a thing. Come on now. Hear this. This is when the Lord said this to me today, I went, oh, I almost fell out of my chair. You know what I mean? He said, God speaks the end of a thing. He is the Alpha and Omega, and we walk in between the beginning and the end by faith. Woo! I went, oh, glory. I just, you know, you want to run around, you know? He's got the beginning done. He spoke to the end. And in between is me going, okay, God, what do we do? I don't see it. Okay, that way. Okay, let's go this way. Does that make sense? Well, I don't see what it is. I know I don't need to see what it is. I know what the ending is, though, and it is victorious. See, from Alpha to Omega is Sean in the middle. Going, yeah, come on, let's do it. How are we going to do it? Just here, tell me, Lord, let's go. And that's what he desires of every one of his believers and followers. We're all on this path. We're stuck in between the two. Some of us and many in the world are living for him and many are not. But along the way, we're being light. We're being luminescent and preservative everywhere we go. Salt and light, that's that verse. Everywhere we go. He speaks the end of a thing. He said, I was praying one time, the Lord said to me, Sean, he said, I was going through a hard time and some ministry stuff, and he said, Sean, he said, if you quit, you'll make heaven. I thought, thank God I didn't lose my salvation. You know, Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, but if you stay, you'll make heaven a part of earth. I've been riding that word for years. When that came into me, I went, you know, that song comes up, ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, you know, ain't no river wide. I'm going. Yeah, but it's a river. We'll walk right across it. It's a mountain. Yeah, we'll speak to that thing, commanded to go into the sea. We're going this way. Why? Because the end of the thing is what? The end of the thing is heaven on earth. You say, where will that happen? Here in Billings, Montana. Well, how do you know? Because he said it. He speaks the end of a thing. He's the Alpha and the Omega. If we have not received what the Lord said at the beginning of the situation concerning the end of the situation, then we know that we are still in faith and patience. Well, I just haven't seen it yet. Well, you're still in faith then. Just keep going. Well, it doesn't look like it's happening. Just stay in faith. Just stay in faith. He already spoke the end of it. Just stay in faith. Go ahead. Stay in faith. Just rejoice where you're at. Patience. You're being developed. You're getting stronger. Your endurance is being enhanced inside of you. You're growing spiritually. And before you know it, your manifestation will come. And then the Lord will do this. He'll make you turn the hospital gown around. I heard a preacher say this one time. You know, the doctors, they have their, you know, their suit and everything, but the doctor comes in, his robe opens in the front. All the patients, it opens in the back. Sometimes you're the patient for a while when it comes to these things, but then when you walk by faith for a few years and you continue to follow the Lord goes, oh, let's turn that gown around for you. Now you go help this person to walk by faith because you walked it out. And you saw my victory, and now you hold that victory with you wherever you go. You display it. And you go, now I used to be in your position. I used to have to wear that thing backwards too with your hindquarters hanging out. But after a while, I grew up. And I grew up and the Lord helped me and I overcame this thing and I can help you turn it around to where you're also helping other people. Come on. I know this is Bible study, but I found a vein. We're in it now. We must not let go of that word and our faith until we see fulfillment. Well, the Lord said it, but when's it going to happen? Soon. Sooner than yesterday, I'm one day closer than I was yesterday. I'm one day closer. Well, it's been 3 years. We are 3 years closer than we were 3 years ago. Well, it's been 25 years. I am 25 years closer. See, a faith person doesn't get defeated. They don't get defeated. Why? Because we got the victory. We got the victory. So he says this. Verse number 23. He says, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city that chains and tribulations, trouble or pressure await me. The Holy Spirit is warning Paul concerning trouble or pressure that is coming to him. These words also come with faith and comfort. Did you know that? They come with faith and comfort. Paul knows the Holy Spirit now, knows from the Holy Spirit now two things. First, that he must go to Jerusalem. And second, that he's going to go through chains and tribulations in the process. So inwardly, Paul has comfort and strength, but outwardly, he has trouble and pressure. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Not the joy of the situation. The devil come to you and you can feel tired and you can lay on your bed and go, man, I don't feel so strong, but my body's feeling. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The devil will come to you and go, you can't even get out of bed. You go, shut up, devil. The joy of the Lord is my strength. What he said at the beginning, I will not let go of until I see it at the end. Because he's my strength, he's my source, he's my life. Then he says this in verse 24, and this is the one I want to wrap up with right now. But none of these things move me. Here is the scripture that Paul said. Paul in this verse makes the statement, none of these things move me. He is referring to chains and tribulations mentioned in verse 23. So what we see here is one of the ways that the enemy tries to get you to release your faith, and that is through chains and tribulations. The enemy will try and stir up trouble around you to cause you to let go of your faith. What Paul was saying was, I have heard from God and now I have faith and am convinced about what I'm to do for him. According to the Lord, chains and tribulations are going to try to deter me from walking out my faith. But, Paul declares, none of these things are going to move me. Or as we looked at in James, Paul is not going to allow his mind to be double or to be taken away from what the Lord has said. When this truth is practiced, it is the thing that makes people stable in difficult situations. In the WEB, the World English Bible, it says this. It says, but these things don't count. In other words, God's word counts, not wind and waves. What if Peter said wind and waves don't count, only the word come counts when he was walking on the water? Wind and waves, oh, you don't count, sorry, he counts. His word to me counts. You don't count. The rest of this doesn't count. Walking by faith demands that we decide what is going to count. Young's literal translation says this, but I make account of none of these. Oh, I love this. Count. I am going to count up the reasons. Paul is saying this. I am not going to count up the reasons and circumstances that are telling me God's word is not going to work. If I'm going to make an account of something, I add up. I start to bring to, it's a term of adding. It's a term of looking at things and putting things together. And what is Paul saying? He's saying chains and tribulations, you don't count. I will not make an account of you. I will make an account of the word of the Lord to me. and I will focus on that. The Message paraphrase says this: but that matters little. Paul said, none of these things matter. They don't move me. And the Message says, but that, it matters little. Well, you don't know. I mean, those chains hurt. What did Paul say? Those things matter little. What matters more? What matters greater? The Word of God. And that's how faith people function. True faith will focus on what matters. In our lives, there are things that matter little and that matter a lot. Fulfilling the will of God for our lives matters more than the pressures or trouble that happens. Amen. That matters. Come on, you say that all week. You're gonna have life. Guess what? I'm not saying we expect storms at every single corner. But Jesus taught that the storm came to the man who had his house built on the rock, and it came to the man who had his house built on the sand. Which one are you going to be? In the middle of that, in the middle of what's going on, you need to go, this matters little. This is my focus, Jesus. Everything else, you got to, it's like those horses, they put blinders on them. Why? Got to know the right direction to go. Straight ahead, straight on till dawn. This is the direction I'm going. Everything else, got to go. Not going to follow it. Amen? That help? You got something to fight with. So when you go home, either tonight or even tomorrow, when you get a chance, sit down and start accounting God's word. Start accounting this promise, this promise, this promise. And then as you're going over it, going, Lord, by your grace, I will not be double-minded. I will not be a doubter. I will walk in your faith. And I'll do what Paul said. Forgetting the things that are behind, I'll press on toward the mark. Lord, I'll cry out if I'm sinking in your mercy. But I'm going to be strong in faith. I'm one of your strong ones. I want to be trained strong. Come on. I don't want to remain in little faith. I want to go to great faith. I want to be your man or woman of God that is full of the Word and full of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And everybody watching or sitting here has the potential to be what God has already made you to be. Everybody. I choose to believe it, even when I don't feel like it and it don't look like it. Amen. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you for utterance in the Holy Spirit. Father, we will be doers of your word and not hearers only. Lord, you sent the Holy Spirit who reminds us of all things. You bring back to us, to our remembrance, everything that you've said to us. So I thank you that you're going to do that with your word tonight. And Father, thank you for helping us and growing us and strengthening us. Thank you that heaven is going to be made and is being made a part of earth in Billings, Montana, in our church and in individual lives, corporately and individually. We just thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Hey, don't forget this Sunday, Pastor Larry Phelan. And also next Wednesday, there will be no Wednesday night service. For Thanksgiving, go ahead and take time and enjoy your family. Amen. Then we'll pick it up the following Wednesday. We do have a Friday night service. It's an RMAI meeting, but you're welcome to come. It's going to be with Pastor Larry as well. That's at 6 p.m. on Friday.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.